This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Jamil Giovanni back here with you, filling in for Jerry Agar on News Talk 1010. And if you've listened to the show at all this week, or maybe you listen to my show 10 p.m. on weeknights on the station, you know I'm passionate about a lot of things. I get heated up about a lot of things, but very few things get me riled up the way the media does when they oversimplify, misrepresent, and dumb down minority communities. I find it incredibly aggravating and offensive, and frankly, one of the most racist things that happens in our society today. And yet it's often perpetuated by people who lecture us about how they're not racist and everyone else is. It's mind-boggling. And you can hear in my voice the frustration. Just bringing it up gets me going. So I am part of a group of people working with the McDonnell Laurier Institute to try to push back against this by saying, listen, if you want to really embrace diversity, if you really want to embrace inclusion, you've got to actually bring people together who have different views and not oversimplify, dumb down, and misrepresent communities, but show their true diversity. This project is called Speak for Ourselves, which you can visit our website at speakforourselves.ca. We've got audio interviews, articles up there, videos. We direct you to other people's content. We're not trying to compete with folks. The website is really just about trying to spotlight genuine debate and diversity and to push back against the oversimplification in the dominant media narratives. And so two of the gentlemen that I work with on this project are going to be joining us right now and to talk about some of these issues. Shuvaloy Majumdar, he is a program director and Monk Senior Fellow at the McDonnell Laurier Institute, and Kaveh Shahrooz, lawyer and human rights activist, also a senior fellow at the McDonnell Laurier Institute. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good to be with you, Jamil.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us. So first question I have for you is just to dig into, what is the problem we're trying to solve with this type of work? What is the problem as you see it? And I want to specifically couch this in the idea that a lot of people are going around saying 2020 was a year where, the dominant narrative around race and identity got better. That, we woke up to a lot of the problems out there. And yet, obviously, if anyone reads any of the writing that we've done, like the Toronto Star article that was published about our project a couple weeks ago, we don't see this the same way the dominant media narrative does. So I want to hear from you guys, what is the problem we're trying to solve, and where do you see the media narrative going wrong? Kaveh, let's start with you.
Sure. So first of all, any discussion about this has to start with an acknowledgement that none of the three of us believe that racism isn't real, or that sexism or bigotry aren't real. These are all very real phenomena. But the problem with the media narrative is a few things. One is, I think, a failure in the media to recognize that there's really been progress in these areas in the last few decades. So, you hear the media refer to, the fact that we live in a white supremacist state. I can't speak for you guys, but I assume you would agree with me in saying that's completely overblown rhetoric. I mean, there are issues around racism, but we do not live in a white supremacist state. Secondly, I think the problem is that the media narrative assumes that, the complex issues around race and gender and bigotry have very easy answers, and that the people that scream loudest about these issues are the ones that have the best solutions, and they're the ones that actually speak for everyone in communities of color or for women and so on. So you end up with policy proposals like defund the police or abolish the police, which frankly are not very good proposals. And frankly, I don't think represent even the views of the people that they're supposed to, that would supposedly stand to benefit from them. And yet anyone that kind of speaks up about it and says, the issue is more complex, maybe we have to think about this, maybe abolishing the police is not the best idea, those people are branded as racist and white supremacists. And I think it just makes for a very unhealthy atmosphere, a very unhealthy political debate.
Now, Shu, do you similarly find that it is stifling debate, the current media narrative?
Listen, I think this is the worst threat that Western democracies have to contend with, because it's not just to me about the media. It's also about the academy and the bureaucracy, the senior officials that determine huge issues around public policy that train generations of thinkers and contributors to our society, and the media that reinforces that dominant narrative. What we are, we're in a world in which there is only one accepted version of history, and it is built upon the brokerage of identity, whether it be race or gender, and it diminishes any contrarian perspective as to how to address these key issues. And we're seeing it manifest in major public policy declarations, whether it's the concept of a great economic reset as we think about a world beyond the pandemic and our economic recovery, or in how we do social policy, foreign policy, justice policy. Jamil, you've been an incredible writer about how the elite, if I could put them that way, are treating a black judge. It's just such a horrible environment in which we are corroding our capacity as a democracy to be vibrant and to be free. And for those reasons, I think, you know, this is the single greatest threat to Western democracies in the year to come.
All right. Well, Kaveh, you know, one of the things you pointed out were people who speak the loudest. And one of the ways we try to describe the loudest segments of our communities, especially online, is this idea of the woke and wokeness and wokeism. Can you comment on that? What does it mean? And how is it a helpful way to describe what's going on?
That's a great question, Jamil, and it's part of the problem, I think, is that it's difficult to actually exactly define what wokeism is because it kind of takes on different different forms. But I can try maybe pointing out a few of its characteristics. First of all, it's an ideology that basically sees all differences in outcome in society as being attributable basically to bigotry and power differentials. So anytime that there's any sort of difference in outcome, it's got to be because of racism. It's got to be because of sexism. But you know, anyone that's lived in the real world would understand that there are a lot of different reasons why outcomes might end up being different. Again, that's not a denial of the existence of racism and sexism, but just to say that the world is more complex. The other attribute of this woke ideology is this belief that that our society is just inherently racist, inherently sexist, and that we just can't get past it, and that we ought to view everything through the lens of race and gender. And that what that means is that, you know, basically non-white people can't be racist. White people are, you know, beyond redemption to some extent.
All right, Kaveh, I'm gonna pause you here because we've got to take a commercial break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Shuvaloy and Kaveh when we come back. It's now 11:15. We are back. Jamil Javani here filling in for Jerry Agar on News Talk 1010. And I am joined by Shuvaloy Majumdar and Kaveh Shahrooz from the McDonnell Laurier Institute. We are talking about a new project called Speak for Ourselves, which you can check out at speakforourselves.ca. And one of the things I want to underscore here is that between the three of us, for example, just three of the folks working on this, we have disagreements, right? Kaveh is an atheist. I'm a Christian, for example. Kaveh and Shuv have different views on foreign policy. Kaveh and I may disagree on drug policy. This is not about trying to present some alternative reality where our communities all agree on things just because we are minority groups. The idea is actually to embrace our differences so that we can have true dialogue and debate. That is what this project is about, and that is what we're pushing back against when we say mainstream media is trying to oversimplify, dumb down, and misrepresent our communities. We're not saying there aren't legitimate disagreements. That's actually important to embrace. We're saying that there needs to be true debate if we're going to arrive to the best ideas to move our society forward, not just for minority groups, but for everyone in Canada. That's the spirit of what we're trying to get at here. And I want to go to you, Shuv, because we've talked a bit about the problems that exist with the media narrative. We've talked about the problems that exist with wokeness and this idea that we're being told over and over again that we're victims who need the far left to come save us. What do we do about this? How does this project help solve the problem?
Well, look, Jamil, I'm blessed with a spectrum of multicolored godchildren. And the one objective that I would be most rewarded with in this undertaking with you and with Kaveh is to provide them a world in which we reclaim Dr. King's creed, that we are not judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character, that our democracy can be as vibrant as the spectrum of perspectives that inform it, that our freedoms are imbued with the responsibility to engage each other with respect, and that true diversity, true inclusiveness is not about a scheme to fulfill a quota. It is about the capacity of individual people to have full-throated voices and to live the opportunities that they are presented with. That the world is imperfect, and that to make it perfect is a responsibility that is bestowed upon individuals and on merit and on encountering challenges with courage. This is what I think is probably the most important thing that we could focus on in our project, Speak for Ourselves, because I think what it does is it empowers a new generation of thinking about how we disagree and how we disagree to the benefit of our country.
Yeah, and you know, Kaveh, when I think of ideas like diversity and inclusion, I think about them as we want everyone, regardless of your identity, to feel like based on your beliefs, based on your convictions, you could be part of all of our institutions. And the idea that there's only one way for people who look a certain way or from a certain background to engage in our democracy sounds like the exact opposite of diversity and inclusion.
That's exactly right. And I mean, look, one of the main arguments for why we need racial and gender diversity in our institutions was that, you know, these people bring different points of view. So it's strange now we've arrived at a point where you're required to have color and gender diversity, but those people are all required to think exactly the same way. And if they don't, then it's considered, you know, violence and white supremacy and so on. I think we've got it entirely backwards, and it's time that we start pushing back.
Yeah. Now, Shuv, what do you say to critics who are hearing us? Because I'm sure there are people hearing us right now and they're saying, oh, these guys are saying that racism isn't real. That's like, you know, the common refrain that you get from folks who don't even want to listen in the first place. What do you say to that criticism?
Look, I don't want to speak for either of you two, but I'm confident that I'm not alone on this call in having encountered racism or the visceral impacts of it, the hurtful impact that racism provides. I think if you do care about racism, then you need to be able to focus on the solutions that deal with the problem rather than delivering an ideology and a doctrine that creates a community of grievances without hierarchy and an incapacity to actually deal with this. At the end of the day, people should not be defined by what they are born into. They should be defined by what they're capable of accomplishing in life. And in doing that, empowering the perspectives of a diverse range of views of people of color is what is truly a democratic accomplishment. At the end of the day, those who denounce and decry others and attempt to cancel others with built-up charges of racism are actually providing a form of racism themselves. And it is subversive, and it has to be challenged.
And Kaveh, how do you think that, you know, spotlighting different perspectives from minority communities and showing this true diversity and debate, how can it help push back? What are we looking for in terms of a direct result from this project?
Well, what we're looking for is actually a more fulsome discussion and policy debate about what the best approaches are to a variety of policy problems across the country. And unfortunately, as we've been talking in the last few minutes, there exists this narrative out there that all people of color think the same way, that the same progressive answers, liberal answers that are being offered to everything, those are, you know, the only answers, and that all people of color agree on them. I think the point of our project is to highlight the fact that, no, you know, there are complexities and there are people with different points of view, and that having these discussions isn't violence. We're not so fragile, and you know, it's healthy for a democracy for these debates to exist.
Yes, I definitely appreciate the point there about fragility, that you do not need to treat people who might look different from you as if you have so much power that you can hurt their feelings and ruin their lives. We are, you know, real equality means entering a conversation as we do on these airwaves, as we do on these microphones, and say, let's just share our perspectives. Let's be respectful of one another, but let's not hide behind political correctness. Let's not hide behind ideology and pretend that you're doing someone else a favor by dumbing down their community and misrepresenting the true diversity in their community. I think that's a fair thing that people from all sides of the political spectrum should be able to unite around. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that happen nearly as much as we should right now, but I hope that is where we get, and that is where this project helps take us. Before I let you guys go, Shuv, can you just give us maybe some words on what kind of content are you looking for, and what do you want people who might want to contribute to this project to keep in mind?
I'm hoping that we can recruit content from people who have the courage to step forward, whether they are in a particular profession or whether they have encountered the discrimination of ideological conformity, in the sense that they are trying to say things that are independent, but that the system is pushing down on them and denying them a platform to speak freely and to speak confidently, to speak courageously. And so I'm hopeful that our platform is populated with content from a rich array of Canadians from all spectrums of life that have the wherewithal and the courage to say, you know, this is where I'm going to push back in my own way to reclaim my democracy, to reclaim my community. And I'm excited to see the kind of individuals that have been reaching out to us already. There's some really interesting folks who are encountering very difficult things in their workplaces, in their communities. That may have a religious confession, that feel that they're not being heard or respected for those religious confessions. What I'm hoping...
Thank you, Shub. I'm going to have to put a pause on the conversation, but really appreciate you and Kaveh joining us. And you can learn more about this at speakforourselves.ca. Please check out the website. There's a page in the About Us where you can contact the group. We'd love to get you involved. Coming up at 11:45, it's the final Touchdowns and Fumbles of 2020. Communications expert Bob Reed will give us his top touchdown and top fumble of the year. Who gets his pick? Even I don't know. Take us with you and don't miss his picks. Just download the iHeartRadio app.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.